Japan goes over the top in investing in hydrogen aviation. The U.S. Treasury listens to tens of thousands of three-pillar comments, and Chart Industries should be very proud of their latest stock rating. I'll go over all of this and give my thoughts on today's Hydrogen Podcast.
So the big questions in the energy industry today are, how is hydrogen the primary driving force behind the evolution of energy? Where is capital being deployed for hydrogen projects globally? And where are the best investment opportunities for early adopters who recognize the importance of hydrogen? I will address the critical issues and give you the information you need to deploy capital. Those are the questions that will unlock the potential of hydrogen, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Paul Rodden, and welcome to the Hydrogen Podcast.
In an article in Interesting Engineering, Rizwan Chowdhury writes, Japan invests $33 billion for its new in-house hydrogen passenger jet. Japan has unveiled a new vision for developing its next-generation in-house passenger jet after delays and a troubled setback last year when a privately led venture was discontinued. The new project marks a nationwide effort spearheaded by both the public and private sectors. This cutting-edge aircraft aims to incorporate new environmental technologies like hydrogen fuel or hybrid electric propulsion systems. In an official statement, the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry emphasized its dedication to decarbonizing the air transport sector, saying, "It is important for us to build next-generation aircraft based on technologies where Japan is competitive, while also contributing to the decarbonization of air transport." As AFP reports, in a meeting with industry experts, an economy ministry official outlined a target completion date of post-2035. To achieve this ambitious goal, a significant investment of 5 trillion yen or $33 billion will be allocated over the next decade, fueling research and development of the new passenger plane. This latest endeavor seeks to establish Japan as a leader in passenger aircraft production, a position it hasn't held in over half a century, building on challenges that Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, or MHI, encountered, which canceled its long-delayed passenger jet project in 2023. The new public-private consortium strongly emphasizes clean energy. In a quote from Kazuchika Iwata, the state minister for economy, trade, and industry, says, "For the Japanese aircraft industry to achieve sustainable growth, we cannot stay satisfied with our position as parts supplier. Taking the lead on carbon-neutral technology initiatives like hydrogen propulsion will be key to securing a prominent position for Japan in partnership with other global players. Hydrogen fuel is a promising alternative prospect due to its lack of carbon emissions, aligning seamlessly with Japan's 2050 net zero pledge. However, critics raise questions about the feasibility of green hydrogen without a reliable supply chain sourced from renewables." Edward Burlett of CLSA Japan, an analyst who also follows MHI, noted the significant cost and complexity of the company's previous jet project. He believes this new consortium approach, while reducing individual risk, may present coordination challenges. Despite potential obstacles, the vision for a hydrogen-powered aircraft holds immense promise, and if successful, this project will contribute significantly to environmental sustainability and position Japan as an industry leader in a rapidly evolving sector. Okay, so $33 billion. That is a staggering amount of capital to invest over 10 years. But as a follow-up to our last podcast, the aviation industry is desperately looking to hydrogen to decarbonize their sector. And it would seem that the US and the UK are well ahead in this space, with Japan playing catch-up. Now, obviously, just throwing money at a problem won't fix it, but if I've learned anything, it's not to discount Japan's industrial nature. If they truly want to lead the hydrogen aviation market, I can't imagine a better starting place with this amount of capital backing them up. Next, in an article in Politico, Ariana Scabell writes, "Treasury gets an earful on hydrogen." The Biden administration's effort to jumpstart the hydrogen power industry has sparked a heated debate over what constitutes clean hydrogen, a question that has generated as many as 30,000 answers. That's how many comments the Treasury Department received on its draft rules for how hydrogen companies can qualify for generous tax credits included in President Joe Biden's signature climate law. This according to Christian Robles. The agency held its first public hearing on the rules last week, where industry players and environmentalists duked it out. A major point of contention emerged around Treasury's proposed requirement that companies use new low-carbon energy sources rather than existing generators to make hydrogen fuel. While hydrogen is by definition carbon-free, it takes energy to make energy, meaning the gas is only as climate-friendly as its production process. The bulk of hydrogen energy produced in the U.S. today is extracted from natural gas, which releases planet-warming pollution into the atmosphere. The Biden administration's goal is to produce 10 million metric tons of hydrogen fuel annually by 2030 using new solar, wind, or other renewable power. The rationale is that using electricity from the grid without adding new clean power to meet the increased demand would boost hydrocarbon use. But critics of Treasury's proposal say the requirement threatens to kneecap the nascent industry. It could, for example, stymie the use of nuclear energy, which is carbon-free, to produce hydrogen. This is an argument by Dorothy Davidson, the CEO of the Mach H2 Hydrogen Hub. Building new nuclear reactors is too expensive and takes too long to be worth it for her company, which is in negotiations with the Energy Department for up to $1 billion in federal funding. Another company CEO, Andy Vesey of Fortescue Future Industries, said the requirement to use new clean power sources would take 5 years or more to fulfill, delaying operations and increasing costs by 20%. Still, at least four companies have said they plan to move forward with major hydrogen projects that comply with Treasury's rules. This according to Eric Kamrath, a hydrogen advocate for the Natural Resources Defense Council. That's enough to produce 6 million metric tons of clean hydrogen, according to the White House. Okay, so another follow-up to the Treasury hearings from last week. And to know that 30,000 comments came in against the proposed three pillars is going to be hard to ignore. Now, only time will tell as to just how much of a change will occur for the 45V tax credits, if any. But I will say this, keeping the guidance as it currently stands will be a massive setback for the U.S. hydrogen economy and will allow other nations to gain a massive lead in hydrogen production and exports. And lastly, in an article in The Motley Fool, Billy Duberstein writes, "Wall Street thinks this hydrogen stock could double or triple, and it could just be the start." The exciting energy transition market isn't just relegated to electrification. The concept of a hydrogen-fueled economy is on the rise, especially after the U.S. government awarded $7 billion in funding for 7 regional hubs across the U.S. in October last year. In fact, hydrogen is gaining popularity across the world, especially for industries that are hard to electrify, like heavy industry or long-haul trucking. That's because hydrogen is a zero-carbon fuel that only emits water as a byproduct, and it's also a baseload fuel, which means it can be stored and transported. That's unlike solar and wind, which only produce power when the sun is shining or the wind is blowing. One company feeding on the nascent hydrogen economy is equipment supplier Chart Industries. And while the company had a better-than-expected earnings report last month, it received a solid string of positive news in March as well. Chart is still well off its late 2022 highs when it announced the acquisition of a similarly sized Pierre Howden from a private equity firm. Chart used a large amount of debt to buy Howden, and its stock plunged in the aftermath. However, it appears from last quarter's earnings report that after 1 year after it announced the Howden deal, Chart is executing on its promised revenue and cost synergies. On March 11th, ratings agency S&P Global upgraded Chart's secured debt from a B+ to a BB-, and its unsecured notes from a B to a B+. That may not seem like such a big deal. After all, a BB- rating is still a non-investment grade rating. However, crossing from a B+ to a BB- does bring Chart's secured debt up from a highly speculative category to a non-investment grade speculative. The category upgrade means Chart could potentially see greater demand for its debt and lower costs of refinancing. It also means the threat of the debt load, which caused the stock to plunge in the first place, is lessening. And that means less risk for equity holders. On that note, Chart's stock also received an upgrade last Tuesday from analysts at UBS, in upgrading Chart from a neutral to a buy rating. UBS analyst Manav Gupta sees Chart bringing in $600 million in free cash flow this year, lowering its debt from $3.7 billion to $3.1 billion by the end of 2024. Once Chart has paid off a sufficient amount of debt, Gupta says Chart could see its multiple double or even triple. And you heard that right, a double or triple just from margin expansion alone. And that makes sense as Chart's stock was essentially cut in half when it announced the Howden acquisition. But given that Chart now benefits from Howden's earnings, the combined company actually has more earnings power than before. So its valuation multiple actually compressed by 3 turns, this again according to Gupta. Thus, the market getting over its fears over Chart's debt load would allow the stock to undo its post-acquisition multiple compression, leading to healthy gains for the stock. And while Chart had been known as an equipment supplier primarily to the oil and gas, LNG, and traditional industrial gas markets in the past, it is quickly becoming a leader in the high-growth hydrogen economy as well. Just last week, Chart announced 2 big hydrogen wins. On March 18th, Chart announced it was awarded a large hydrogen equipment order from Element Resources, which is building out a 20,000-ton-per-year green hydrogen facility in Lancaster, California. In the press release, Element said, quote, "We are pleased to have a supplier that designs, engineers, and builds in-house essentially all of the hydrogen liquefaction, storage, and handling equipment, which significantly simplifies the procurement, construction, and operation of the plant and facilities." This statement speaks to Chart's current competitive advantage and the endorsement of the Howden deal, which gave Chart a complete portfolio of both sitting and rotating hydrogen equipment, thereby allowing it to provide these easy turnkey solutions for customers rather than just being a supplier of one-off pieces and equipment. And then on March 20th, Chart announced a collaboration with GasLog LNG Services, a liquefied natural gas transporter, to study the build-out of a global liquid hydrogen supply chain. In particular, the collaboration will look at the export of hydrogen from plants in the Middle East to export markets in Europe and Asia. Okay, so great news for those of you looking to invest in Chart. Now, keep in mind, I'm not here to give investment advice, but I will say this. We had Jillian Ivanko on the show a few months back, and after talking with her, it's no wonder why the company is flourishing the way they are. She has shown great leadership, and Chart has been making all the right moves to showcase their prowess in supporting the hydrogen supply chain. So congratulations to Jillian and Chart. This is great news, and I'm excited to see where you go from here. All right, that's it for me, everyone. If you have a second, I would really appreciate it if you could leave a good review on whatever platform it is that you listen to. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, YouTube, whatever it is. That would be a tremendous help to the show. And as always, if you ever have any feedback, you're welcome to email me directly at info@thehydrogenpodcast.com. So until next time, keep your eyes up and honor one another.
Hey, this is Paul. I hope you liked this podcast. If you did and want to hear more, I'd appreciate it if you would either subscribe to this channel on YouTube or connect with your favorite platform through my website at www.thehydrogenpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. I very much appreciate it. Have a great day.